Russ Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO, Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Well, of course, the question is, when's the war starting? War with Iran. Plenty of wars cooking up in the area, but you just have to wonder, when's that big blow-up going to come down? And the question's been raised for a number of years yet. And there's two ways to figure it out, at least. One is to look at the level of propaganda. That was a little difficult because you never know when there's just a whole lot of hot air being blown at you. And when the powers that be really just want to prepare you for war. But another way to do it is to follow logistical shipments. The HeraldScotland.com reported earlier this week that hundreds of powerful U.S. bunker buster bombs are being shipped from California to the British island of Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean in preparation for a possible attack on Iran. Departing from that article, Diego Garcia is where the B-52s are amassed for when the U.S. wants to bomb in the area. I return to the article. The Sunday Herald can reveal that the U.S. government signed a contract in January to transport 10 ammunition containers to the island. According to a cargo manifest from the U.S. Navy, this included 387 BLU bombs used for blasting hardened or underground structures. Experts say they are being put in place for an assault on Iran's controversial nuclear facilities. This has long been speculation. There has long been speculation that the U.S. military is preparing for such an attack should diplomacy fail to persuade Iran not to make nuclear weapons. Once again, apart from the text, that's the usual song and dance. It's like, oh, we're so much about diplomacy. We have this terrible, terrible threat, which is not true. And we're going to deal with it as best we can with diplomacy because we're such good people. Also not true. The diplomacy is being advanced and withdrawn, cat and mouse, exactly as it was with Iraq, and for the same reason, to give the veneer of respectability to ongoing war preparations. Returning to the article, although Diego Garcia is part of British Indian Ocean territory, it is used by the U.S. as a military base under an agreement made in 1971. The agreement led to 2,000 native islanders being forcibly evicted to the Seychelles and Mauritius. The Sunday Herald reported in 2007 that stealth bomber hangars on the island were being equipped to take bunker buster bombs. Dan Plesh, the director of the Center for International Studies and Diplomacy, University of London, said that although the story was not confirmed at the time, the new evidence suggests that it was accurate. That is the story that the bunker busters are on the way. And again, departing from this text, The new bombs are gravity bombs, and the way that they are deployed, they weigh a couple thousand pounds, and the jet aircraft that deploy them first go far up into nearly the top of their possible ceiling, almost to space, and then they drop these things, and they are guided bombs, and they work because they are so heavy, they have such density. It's not just the weight, but the density of the metal in them, and then they penetrate quite a ways down to blow up bunkers that are dug way down into the ground. Returning to the article, contract details for the shipment to Diego Garcia were posted on an international tenders website by the U.S. Navy. A shipping company based in Florida, Superior Maritime Services, will be paid $700,000 to carry many thousands of military items from Concord, California to Diego Garcia. Crucially, the cargo includes 195 smart-guided BLU-110 bombs and 192 massive 2,000-pound BLU-117 bombs. They are gearing up totally for the destruction of Iran, said Dan Plesh, director of the Center for International Studies and Diplomacy at the University of London, co-author of a recent study on U.S. preparations for attack on Iran. U.S. bombers are ready today to destroy 10,000 targets in Iran in a few hours, he added. The preparations were being made by the U.S. military, but it would be up to President Obama to make the final decision. He may decide that it would be better for the U.S. to act instead of Israel, Plesh argued. Got to depart from the text once again. That's another little meme that you're supposed to have rattling in your head that, we've got to do it because Israel might do it. And once again, totally false. Nobody has to go to war. Absolutely no one. No nuclear threat. Nothing happening in Iran that needs to be deterred. Except that there is a great deal of oil and gas, which needs to be deterred away from anyone else getting hegemonic control over it, specifically the Chinese. And once the U.S. has blown up Iran, then you'll see that there are procedures underway, procedures that are being prepared now and have been for some time to take control of that oil and gas, just as in the case of Iraq. That's how it works. Returning to the article, the U.S. is not publicizing the scale of these preparations to deter Iran, tending to make confrontation more likely. He added, the U.S. is using its forces as part of an overall strategy of shaping Iran's actions. According to Ian Davis, director of the new independent think tank NATO Watch, the shipment to Diego Garcia is a major concern. Quote, we would urge the U.S. to clarify its intentions for these weapons and the Foreign Office to clarify its attitude to the use of Diego Garcia for an attack on Iran, end quote. Ian Davis said, for Alan McKinnon, chair of Scottish CND, the revelation was extremely worrying. I believe the ND there stands for nuclear disarmament. He stated, it is clear that the U.S. government continues to beat the drums of war over Iran, most recently in the statements of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. It is depressingly similar to the rhetoric we heard prior to the war in Iraq in 2003. Gosh, I wonder why he would say that. Anyway, that article actually was found by Wayne Madsen, so you can find that at Wayne Madsen Report, or you can pull it up at heraldscotland.com. And now I'm going to do something unusual because as I've been speaking to you, hilariously, I've been sitting in what would seem to be a trick chair. It's almost like a clown chair that very slowly collapses as I sit in it. So the table relative to me has been getting higher and higher, and I've been sinking slowly into, and I understand the engineer has some appropriate music for this. You're cueing appropriate music. The Texas Chainsaw Orchestra is chopping my chair down to little pieces. They're tuning up, I understand, okay? Well, while the Chainsaw Orchestra is tuning up, I'll just sit in a regular, ordinary chair that neither adjusts up nor down. Oh, there we go. Chainsaws, you say. Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Well, you know, that's kind of appropriate music, bizarre music for what I want to bring up next. And that is John McCain's baby. And John McCain has come up with a new bill that he wants passed. And it'll set things right in this country, by golly. And I just want to say when I read the text, thanks to the person who posted the bill on Portland Indie Media, by the way, brought it to my attention. It's cooking right now in Congress and Senate. And I was reading the bill, and I thought at one point after I got a few paragraphs down that I'd been had. I thought, oh, no, this is the Onion. I've been fooled again. They've got me because, you know, the Onion. The Onion's great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pull up theonion.com. You can see all these faux news articles, and they do them like real articles. And every now and then one of them will find its way into the press. And persons who collate news and maybe journalists will sort of get burned by it. I don't know that it's intentional, though. I think they're just doing a satire news site. Anyway, this is so unbelievably well. Let me just read some of it to you, and you'll see what I mean. Under Section 1, short title, this act may be cited as the Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act of 2010. This is John McCain's act. Section 2, it's all in caps. It says, placement of suspected unprivileged enemy belligerents in military custody. Military custody requirement. Whenever within the United States, its territories and possessions, or outside the territorial limits of the United States, an individual is captured or otherwise comes into the custody or under the effective control of the United States who is suspected of engaging in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners through an act of terrorism or by other means in violation of the laws of war or of purposely and materially supporting such hostilities. Remember, the word suspected covers all of these phrases. And who may be an unprivileged enemy belligerent, the individual shall be placed in military custody for purposes of initial interrogation and determination of status in accordance with the provisions of this act. I'm not making this up. This is what it actually says. This is John McCain's Enemy Belligerent Interrogation, Detention, and Prosecution Act of 2010. B, reasonable delay for intelligence activities. An individual who may be an unprivileged enemy belligerent and who is initially captured or otherwise comes into the custody or under the effective control of the United States by an intelligence agency of the United States may be held, interrogated, or transported by the intelligence agency and placed into military custody for the purposes of this act if retained by the United States within a reasonable time after the capture or coming into the custody or effective control by the intelligence agency, giving due consideration to operational needs and requirements. To avoid compromise or disclosure of an intelligence mission or intelligence sources or methods. Section 3, interrogation and determination of status of suspected unprivileged enemy belligerents. Establishment of interrogation groups. Establishment authorized. The president is authorized to establish an interagency team for purposes as follows. A, to interrogate under subsection B individuals placed in military custody under section 2. B, to make under subsection C1 a preliminary determination of the status of individuals described in section 2. Composition. Each interagency team under this subsection shall be composed of such personnel of the executive branch having expertise in matters relating to national security, terrorism, intelligence, interrogation, or law enforcement as the president considers appropriate. The members of any particular interagency team may vary depending on skills most relevant to a particular case. Designations. ARM 10090, never mind these numbers, high-value detainee. An individual placed in military custody under Section 2 shall, while subject to interrogation and determination of status under this section, be referred to as a high-value detainee if the individual meets the criteria for treatment as such established in the regulations required by subsection D. B, high-value detainee interrogation group. An interagency team established under this subsection shall be known as a high-value detainee interrogation group. Interrogations. Interrogations to be conducted by high-value detainee interrogation group. A high-value detainee interrogation group established under this section shall conduct the interrogations of each high-value detainee. It's a tad redundant. But we're getting these new phrases, which reveal how John McCain and people backing him up, the people who want to pass this act, think of persons that they don't like. And that would be persons who are suspected. And as you notice, after I said the word suspected, I just went on. And I think the thing that you have to ask yourself is, are you suspected? For example, are you suspected of engaging in hostilities against the United States or coalition partners through an act of terrorism or other means in violation of the laws of war or of purposely and materially supporting such hostilities and who may be an unprivileged enemy belligerent? Remember the, what do they call the prisoners of war that they didn't want to call prisoners of war at Guantanamo? There was a phrase for that. It was enemy combatant. There was another phrase that went with it. Well, anyway, now you're an unprivileged enemy belligerent. And I've got to get used to saying belligerent a lot, which evidently my tongue just doesn't want to say belligerent. I feel belligerent towards this idea, Lord knows. But I just don't want to say belligerent. This is insanely fascistic. It's a real bill. It's before the Congress, and it just gets worse and worse. For example, under subsection 3 of whatever section I was just reading, it's titled, Inapplicability of Certain Statement and Rights. An individual who is suspected of being an unprivileged enemy belligerent, shall not, during interrogation under this subsection, be provided the statement provided required by Miranda v. Arizona, or otherwise informed of any rights that the individual may or may not have to counsel or remain silent, consistent with Miranda v. Arizona. They don't want to let you be read your rights. None of that anymore. It's too dangerous. The world's too dangerous. Just insane. Absolutely insane. Your comments, 503-231-8187. Are you an unprivileged enemy belligerent, or are you worried about unprivileged enemy belligerents? Unprivileged. That's that new word, meaning we're not going to apply the Constitution to you. You know, it's not really that new of a thing. When the Constitution came out in 1783, it sounded fine and good in that Bill of Rights, but there was something unstated which everyone understood, which was persons stolen from Africa were not persons. So they talked about persons, had this right and had that right, and it all sounded high and mighty and wonderful, and everything was fine, great. Unless you had too much melanin in your skin, and then you weren't a person. And this is a more top-down approach, bringing all these words together to try to convince you, as a subject of this nation, that you don't have certain rights if you get called certain things. So if you get called a suspected unprivileged enemy belligerent, then better watch out, because nobody's giving you no rights. You don't have any habeas corpus, which means that nobody has to answer for taking you into a dungeon. They can torture you first just to figure out what you are, to figure out if you're a high-value, unprivileged, enemy, belligerent. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. And all of it blasting out of some orifice of John McCain. And Jeff is on the air.
Good morning, Princess.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
How are you?
Unlawful enemy combatants. That's where they start.
Unlawful enemy combatants. I just wanted to put it out of my mind, you know. Bush era, I told myself. Things will get better now. Oh, no.
And now they're talking about belligerence. Well, you know what? There are a lot of angry people in this country. When at last we put all the angry people behind bars, who the heck is going to have a job in the first place? The unprivileged, I just don't get. Is there a definition of unprivileged? Because,
well, I'm just getting it from the context. What they're saying is
feel privileged. I mean, we, you know, privilege comes with its perks, I suppose. And if you're unprivileged, it means that would be underprivileged, right? I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a poor people. Underprivileged is how they should read it instead of unprivileged. I have no idea what it means, but that's what Barbara, the Mama Barbara Bush, the Quaker Oats man lady, said in Houston when they had their new crib and had they were underprivileged to begin with. Well, maybe it's the underprivileged.
No, we don't care about Barbara Bush's gender. We just care that she's nasty.
Indeed. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling in. I destroyed my first band way back in, I mean, you know, it's traditional. You get a band, you have to destroy it, right? But I was in a band in Austin, Texas, and we started getting some success, oh, more than 20 years ago. I know, right about 20 years ago. And at some point, there was an offer to be on the stage at a sort of faux peace event, and Barbara Bush was going to be on the stage. And I said, I'm not sharing a stage with Barbara Bush, and it's possible I might accidentally bump her off it. And that ditched our I was joking about the bump, but that ditched our band from any further considerations from that circuit, made the band members mad as hell at me, and ended the whole thing over Barbara Bush. I just had to say that. I just had to bring that out. Are you a threat? Well, the Pentagon sees a threat from online muckrakers. This is from the New York Times. To the list of the enemies threatening the security of the United States, the Pentagon has added WikiLeaks.org, a tiny online source of information and documents that governments and corporations around the world would prefer to keep secret. The Pentagon assessed the danger WikiLeaks.org posed to the Army in a report marked unauthorized disclosure subject to criminal sanctions. It concluded that WikiLeaks.org represents a potential force protection, counterintelligence, OPSEC, and InfoSec threat. I don't know what OPSEC and InfoSec is, but when they start talking in those strange little syllables, you better run. Threat to the U.S. Army, or in plain English, a threat to Army operations and information. Now, if I understand what I'm reading in John McCain's Gestapo bill, that would make persons associated with WikiLeaks, maybe you if you pull it up at WikiLeaks.org, which I recommend, would make such persons suspected unprivileged enemy belligerents. Yeah, and Ross is on the air.
Hey, Teresa, good morning.
Good morning.
Did you pick up the story from the BBC on the company acting as a middle person transporter of torture devices manufactured in Italy, Spain, Czechoslovakia, and one other country?
The Thumbscrew Express? No, I haven't read that.
Yes, it was on the BBC this morning there, and I just wonder if John McCain maybe holds stock in this company because they were exporting, they're the same people who manufacture batons and tasers and other police less than lethal, you know, utensils, but they also have foot warmers and leg shackle hangers so that they can, properly interrogate their not friends, their new...
Their new suspected unprivileged enemy belligerents.
Yes, them. So this company in England, I guess, has been shut down by the British government because they were acting as a mover and shaker for this equipment to our friends with the interrogation facility.
You know, I just have to recommend to anyone and everyone who has access to a computer with a search engine to pull up Bill of Rights. Bill of Rights. And read that. And that's the supreme law of the land. Of course, if we are not aware of it and don't enforce it, then it's just some words on some paper. Hemp paper,
hey,
by the way. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, related to this from CBS News, what would it take for you to administer potentially deadly electric shocks to a complete stranger who's done nothing wrong except answer a question incorrectly? Maybe just television cameras. The Game of Death, a French TV show, explores that very question under the guise of a game show complete with a studio audience. Contestants pose various trivia questions to another participant. If the answer is incorrect, the contestants literally flip the switch and shock the other player, with the voltage increasing all the way up to 460 volts as wrong answers continue to flow in. The player on the other end of the electric current is an actor, not known by the other contestants, that plays the part convincingly, howling in pain and begging for release until the cries stop, presumably because he's dead. Now, you may recall this, that there was an experiment done of this nature in Yale many years ago by social psychologist Stanley Milgram, in part to seek insight into how Nazis can commit wartime atrocities. And you know what he found? We all can do that sort of thing when we're asked to and expected to. You've been listening to Press Watch. I would like to, before I make way for the other programming here on the Radio Zine this morning, just want to point your attention to a dollarsandcents.org article, Rise of the National Security Complex, Synergy and Security. It talks about just how much money is going into the war industry and just how inveigled, really more than inveigled, how completely integrated the war industry is in the government. In fact, at this point, the war industry is the government. Very interesting article, dollars and cents, spelled just like you'd expect, .org. Don't pull up .com, you just get investment advice. And you've been listening to Press Watch. Stay tuned for more of the incomparable Radio Zine on KBOO Portland.
And now stay tuned for Fight the Empire. You are listening to KBOO Portland.